Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 o'clock, and we have our guest, Kay Larson, in the studio today. So, she is here to talk about the group BRAVE, which stands for Building Respect and Valuing Everyone. You can call in to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Kay, thank you for coming in today.
Hi, June. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Right on. So let's get right to it. I think a lot of people think of BRAVE for the work around preventing and responding to domestic violence, but go ahead and give me the real inclusive mission of BRAVE.
Alrighty. Well, I should say that it started soon after I became a rural board member for WISH, saw the work that they were doing in Ketchikan, and we're in their catchment area, so a lot of our people are able to utilize the services of the shelter there when in need. But a small group formed here a couple of years ago and created a mission statement. I'm just going to read it. To provide advocacy for healthy relationships in our community through prevention programs, resource referral, and community engagement. So it's a broad-based vision of creating a more healthy community based on relationships that are improved and, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right on. So you partner with WISH in a lot of ways, but this is a local organization that can respond to local needs.
And we try to partner with as many local organizations as we can.
Yeah, like who?
Well, through WISH, we've been able to provide some trainings. Through WISH and SEARCH, we've been able to assist with trainings at the schools and in the public. And we're also working with SEARCH to conduct a community survey that will help us define with more clarity what it is that we see as the greatest need and how to address it.
Can you go ahead and, while you're working on the survey, you know the community and you're working with people that also know the community. What are the needs of the community?
We see that they fall into two broad categories, one being advocacy for individuals who are in crisis and needing immediate attention of one kind or another. Sometimes that means a safe place, sometimes legal counseling or other kinds of assistance, even financial.
Yeah.
However, as we've been pursuing this, there are even some individuals in the community who have taken the 40-hour online training to do advocacy. And yet, in the old days, families used to be able to reach out and support one another. There were no questions asked. But in our today's world, there are things like accountability and liabilities that need to be taken into consideration. So some of the things that we had hoped to be able to do, we're either not going to be able to do in the framework that we thought, or it may take more time and more effort. So what I'm saying is that we are still in the service area of WISH, and between that agency and our local police, the hospital, the churches, even the school, the hospital, by those agencies working together, the hope is that people who are in need will be able to find a track that will help them get through the immediate crisis. And while we may not be able to provide even a safe home here, we're looking at all of the options and finding the best ways that we can provide that support. I should say that even in Petersburg, they have an organization WAVE, where they were able to have an office and support staff and all kinds of things in place and even safe homes, but they found that they weren't able to continue with the safe homes. So we're looking at that and looking really hard at what can be done in the most realistic way to provide that kind of support.
Okay, absolutely. Yep. So there are liability issues. There are a lot of issues that can come in between having maybe traditional services that we might see in Ketchikan, we might see in other larger cities. But yeah, just go ahead and give me a sense of, you know, if folks are struggling, you know, what should they do? What can they access on this island?
On this island, the first calls could be to the police department that may refer to WISH. They would stay on the line, help the person make that call. And transport to WISH, to Ketchikan, is always a possibility. They can also call SEARCH and talk with the people at the mental health program. Sometimes people, it depends on the person, it depends on their situation and the people that they know in town. So they may feel more comfortable talking with the pastor at their church, or even if a situation arises by going to the hospital, that would bring them into a network of safety and support.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like this is something that is multi-layered. There's a lot of agencies that are working to keep people safe and healthy. You know, that's what we know that the police do that. We know that the hospital do that, and experiencing domestic violence is clearly one of those things that people are going through here on this island. So that's a lot of the resources are, you know, our conventional resources that we have for health and human safety.
That's exactly right. And I think what we're really looking for right now is a coordinated effort so that the police or the court or search or the hospital know their boundaries, know how far they can go, and that's clear between all of them, even the EMTs, if they're out on a call. Everybody has things they can and can't do. And to be able to know what that is and be respectful of that and still get the help to the people, that would be our most important wish at this point.
So, yes, I think you said boundaries. I think that's a really interesting word. I mean, what would that look like, Kay? What do boundaries look like when we're talking about different agencies working together to support an individual? What would you hope that would look like?
Well, what we're hoping, what BRAVE is hoping, is that members of these agencies can sit down together and sort that out among themselves so that they would have a clearer idea of where they can begin and where they leave off. In a practical sense, let's say that somebody desperately needed to get out of their home for the night, maybe a couple of nights. They might call the police department, and the police might either call SEARCH, they might call WISH, they might call a pastor who may have an idea of a safe place, but because we want these places to be safe, we can't talk about it. We can't let that be known. So there's sort of, you'd guess, almost, I won't say underground, but there's a below-the-surface network that people need to rely on. But knowing how to get into that, how to access that, is the most important thing. And one of the things that we've been able to do is put up posters around town, flyers with telephone numbers. I don't know that I've got those right with me right now, but we can find them and get them on air, that people can call so that even if they can't access any of these local resources, they would be able to get help by talking to a person online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're talking about, we have these you know, these agencies of health and human safety that we know, and they're connected to folks that are willing to help, basically. How is this network going?
I can't say, because I haven't personally, and Brave has not, as an entity, sat down with these organizations. So it's a mystery to us right now. And that's one of the things that we would like to see happen, is that these representatives of the different groups have that conversation with one another. But it's also something that could come to the surface strongly when we eventually get a survey rebuilt that will go out to the broader community. There was one done earlier in April, and the information gathered from that will be used by CERCH and some other agencies to build a survey that anyone can take part in, and it will be easier to draw the numbers out of that. But that would give people an opportunity to say, yes, we need this. We need this desperately, and how can we go about it? Or there may be other things that would surface for people that are more important. So we're looking forward to that, but it will take a little more time.
Absolutely. So the time is 1:11. I am with my guest, Kay Larson. We're talking about Brave, and we will be back shortly for some more questions. And if you have a question, you can call in. The number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:14, and I've got Kay Larson in the studio. So we've been talking about domestic violence in our community and what resources are available and, you know, where there are still gaps. So, Kay, you've got a number for anyone to call. If you're in crisis right now, seriously, this is a number for you to call.
This is a 24-hour crisis line for WISH. It's 907 907- 225-9474. And there are, of course, other areas. Juneau has AWARE, Sitka has SAFE, Petersburg has WAVE, and there are national crisis lines. But this one can get you directly to the WISH shelter.
Absolutely. and one thing I wanted to get back to was, you know, last time I talked to you, there was an advocate from WISH that was coming to Wrangell once a month to help people, you know, in crisis or in whatever situation they were in. And what has happened, Kay?
Well, that was an experimental program that WISH offered to us because they had some money in a budget. And Erin came over once a month and was meeting with people and getting to know the community and just providing some avenue of connection. Well, the budget happened, the state budget. And as we all know, there were a lot of cuts. That element was cut out. And so we're not able to have Erin come each month. But there is another pocket of money that can be used perhaps quarterly on demand for us to invite one of the prevention specialists from WISH to come and give trainings. And there are a lot of different topics. Some of them have to do with what we're learning about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. These are toxic kinds of stress that build up and actually create changes in the way our brain functions, the way we function as individuals, and they can begin very young in our life. They can carry on even intergenerationally. But the beauty of it is that once we recognize this, there are ways out. There are ways through it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know, Kay, that, you know, when we're dealing with folks that are experiencing trauma, you know, there's very much people that are in crisis and you need to respond to them, but there's also this preventative advocacy that I know you're really interested in, you really have a passion for, and you find it to be fascinating. So yeah, just tell me a little bit more about, why is it fascinating to you? What are some things that are popping up in your research that you're really taking note of?
Well, it's a really great question, and it's such a broad field of answers because it applies to education, it applies to health, economy. Every aspect of our lives is touched when we're in deep crisis or even lesser levels. But the thing is, I've been involved in this kind of activity for a number of years, and sometimes it seemed like we were just going around in vicious circles, like never quite getting to a new level or to a new life. And I think because of all of the science and the research that's been done lately on trauma and becoming trauma-informed, you can look it up, you can Google it, you'll find tons of information online. But because of the information and the practical knowledge that's being shared, people are finding their way out of the trauma, and actually the brain can be rewired. People can begin to think differently, to see things differently, to operate differently. And if this can happen with children when they're still young, they may not have to go through all of the events that create a crisis that depend on shelters and that kind of recovery system. We can prevent it. I'm all about prevention and health in kind of operating from the get-go, from the beginning.
Yeah, I remember when Malia came in here to talk about Brave, you know, I was asking her, you know, we know how bad trauma is, and that's why we have services to prevent it, to deal with it, but just because somebody has experienced trauma does not mean they are lost cause, they're not damaged, and they still can build their resilience. So I guess with that, I'm saying, you know, if we have children that are experiencing trauma, you know, how do we support them? How do we build up the resilience? Because we know they can bounce back, but there's something we have to do about it.
And there are lots of things that we can do. I just picked up a copy of the 2019 Kids Count data book, the Annie E. Casey Foundation. It's fresh data for the whole United States and ranks each state in different areas. So let me just go through this. In Alaska, the overall rank of children's well-being is 45th. The economic well-being is 33rd of the 50 states. The educational rank is given as 49th. The health rank of kids in Alaska is given as 50th. Like, we could say the least healthy of the nation. And yet, with all of those disadvantages, and you'd call them stress, you'd call them traumas, the next column talks about family and community rank. And of the 50 states, Alaska is rated as the 21st. So not even halfway, I mean, less than halfway. We're clearly at the top. Well, that's one of the ways that we begin to work out of the trauma and the stress that we've been undergoing is through the nurturing, the caring, the being surrounded by people who care. And I think even though we have a lot of challenges and hard things going on in Alaska, we do have that going for us. We have families that are strong and nurturing. So to me, that's a hopeful look at the way forward. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that, again, if you want to find out about resilience, just go to the web and begin looking it up. We've attended, I have, and many other members have attended workshops that give very practical, physical things to do to maintain in the face of anxiety or depression or the kinds of things that compromise the way we act.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, so this idea of trauma-informed care and building resilience, it's something that, I mean, it's really happening if you are involved in social work or you're maybe a nurse or you're in the schools. But, you know, Kay, maybe we can kind of end our segment today with, if you're just a lay person, you know, what can resilience mean to you? How can you build resilience in yourself?
Let me suggest something.
Yeah.
The Brave organization is going to have a family resilience fair on the 21st of September at the Nolan Center. It'll be noon to 2. There'll be a ton of information there because we've asked that the providers that come or organizations that have a table, and anybody's welcome to come if you have something to offer families and children, adults, anybody on this matter of resilience. Anybody can come and present. Anybody can come and attend and learn. So there'll be many, many tables. We did this last year. We had a great turnout, and we're looking forward to it again. I'd say the biggest thing is just educate, train, learn, find information wherever you can. And there's going to be, there'll be other trainings throughout the year. And I just want to mention that our affiliation with RISH, even though we don't have that advocate coming now, is going to maintain itself. People can still go there and get the help they need, sometimes even over the phone.
Yeah, definitely. So the Resilience Fair, list that off again. When is it? Where is it?
It's September 21st, a Saturday, at noon to 2 at the Nolan Center, and everybody's welcome to come, either have a table and present, or just come and take part in an interactive activity.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Kay, do you have any last thoughts before we get off air with all the people of Wrangell?
I just wanted to share again about Wish, that they've purchased a new building, and the shelter is just going to be beautiful. I mean, it'll be very welcoming. And I was there recently for a board training. They came up with a new mission statement that I love, and I want to share that as a closure. Their mission is simply to create a community where all individuals have the opportunity to live violence-free.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's keep at it. I think, you know, Wrangell seems like a sleepy town. It seems like there's not a lot of crime, and there probably isn't, but it doesn't mean that people aren't dealing with violence in their own homes. You know, that's where it can occur most often. So, Kay, thank you for coming in today. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Look forward to the next update.
Absolutely. So, you have been listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:26, and I will be back, as always, with another guest next week. Thank you.